So I mentioned that I would be asking the teens for some help during the homily, so hopefully you paid attention. So our responsorial psalm today actually doesn't come from the Psalms. There are 150 psalms in the Old Testament. It comes from another part of the New Testament, and it actually comes from Luke's Gospel. And it's the words of Our Lady. And since this is the Church of the Immaculate Conception, it's appropriate that we have this today. So this is what Mary said after she started to understand God's plan for her. She said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And today is Gaudete Sunday, which is why we light the third candle. It's supposed to be rose-colored, some say pink. But the theme of today's Mass, if there is a theme besides the Paschal Mystery, is that we're rejoicing in what God wants to do for us. So we have what seems today at Mass, now granted we have a pretty full church, but two groups in particular here, Confirmandi, who you may not have been rejoicing this morning when you had to wake up to be on a confirmation treat and be here at 9 a.m. Maybe you would normally be sleeping a little bit longer. So you're like, do I really want to rejoice today? And then over here, we have a group that's gathered for a bereavement ministry. Is that what I'm told? It's correct. And so you may say, well, losing a loved one or going through some sort of hurt or heartache and trying to figure out where is God in that. So it may seem like we have two different groups, but in fact, this whole church today, we gather where we are, as we are, and as we begin at the beginning of Mass, we acknowledge our sins, and then the rest of the Mass, we're allowing God to come and do work in our lives. Whether we're working through some grief, or whether we're a teenager saying, this is still kind of early in the day for me and everybody else. And Mary becomes a model for us, saying, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So God wants to do something for us. He wants to enter in. I have a friend of mine who's a theology teacher in one of our, we have 20 Catholic high schools, if you count the classical schools, 23 in the Diocese of Cleveland. And my friend teaches at one of these schools, and she teaches a senior course on vocation. And so the course culminated, it was an optional retreat, but it culminated in a retreat, and 12 students opted for it. So these are seniors in high school. And the retreat is called a Apostinia, which is a Russian word for desert. So she prepared up for this, and get this now, Martin, don't be falling asleep. This is the most important part, ready? This is what you had to do on this retreat. Martin, you were a good Peter today, by the way. Imagine this, you go on a retreat where you are in a room by yourself for 24 hours. So before they went on a retreat, all the students, they went into the chapel and they left their phones at the altar. And this is what they were able to take into the room with them. A Bible, an icon, a journal, a pen, a loaf of bread, and water. Nick, you think you could do it? 24 hours? No one else in there. Maybe not at this age, but they were prepared. Their teacher prepared them, showed them how to pray with scripture, showed them how to pray with an icon, showed them how to pray with a journal. And so for 24 hours, they were just alone with God. No phone. And at first you're like, it makes me feel nervous and anxious. But they were able to do it. And then afterwards, when they were done with the 24 hours of silence, they came back, and before they grabbed their phones, the first thing they actually did, the president of the school is a priest, and so they had Mass. And the first time they opened their mouths and spoke were to make the sign of the cross. They celebrated Mass, and then they had a nice dinner together, and they were able to share the graces of their time in silence with the Lord. These were some of the things the teenagers said. For the first time in my life, I recognized my own breath. I noticed nature. I watched the rain and was grateful for God's creation. I became grateful for my parents. I recognized that God was with me in the silence, and in fact that he's always been with me, and a lot of times I don't even notice. But in the silence, I felt his presence. which was really a great blessing. Now, why do I mention this to you? Because Advent is a time for us to wait on the Lord, and our lives can be so busy at times, and we can get so distracted by our phones, and my phone in my pocket, by our phones, by screens, by noise, by all sorts of things, that we don't take the time to just slow down and breathe and wait on the Lord and listen to Him. And this is true in bereavement too and in grief, because it could be really scary to say, man, when I just quiet myself down, I miss the person or I miss people, and I kind of feel that pain, the ache of grief. But what we find, and this is the weird thing about our Catholic faith, and we talked about this today, where was Jesus born, remember? In Bethlehem, in a barn or in a stable. And it was messy and it was chaotic, but that's exactly where He wanted to be, right? That's where He's born. If you go down to the Cleveland Museum of Art and you notice the most common portrayals of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's either going to be as a baby or as a dying man on the cross. Do you know what they both have in common? In either one of those, He's not threatening to you. Like, pretty soon you're going to have Jesus here in swaddling clothes. Right? He'll be put right there. Maybe His arms will be out. But a baby can't hurt you. And so when God comes to us, He comes to us in a non-threatening way. It's like, look, just hold me. Hold me in your arms. I am here with you. I am here for you. I'm not a threat. I don't come here to condemn you. I come here to save you. Would you open your heart and let me in? And then if we doubt that, here He is, a dying man on the cross, pinned to a cross, the all-powerful one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, except His throne is a cross and His crown is a crown of thorns. Yet He goes there. We said this today too. No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So here's our God saying, look, you think I come here to condemn you? No. I come here to save. I come here to enter into your life, into your pain, into your heartache. Would you receive me? Remember, no one has greater love than this than to do what? Lay down one's life for one's friends. So that's what Jesus does. Now get this. No one's afraid of a baby. It comes non-threatening. A dying man on the cross. He's not going to hurt you. He's come here to save you. How is Jesus going to make Himself present here in a few moments, Martin? What's going to happen up here? Bread and wine are going to be transformed into Jesus, His body, blood, soul, divinity. It's going to look like a host, like bread. It's still going to look like wine. Non-threatening again, but He does this. He comes in a humble way so that we can welcome Him into our lives so that He can live in us. So whether we're experiencing great grief and pain and loss, we can be assured every time we gather at Mass, He's with us. He has not abandoned us. He's here. And here's the other great thing. My mom died a year before I was ordained a priest. She never saw me as a priest. And when it comes to the holidays, I still miss her. I miss her a lot. Actually, I was talking to my brother the other day, and I said, you know what I remember mom did? She'd get up in the morning early. She liked to sit, like light the Christmas tree while it was still dark, and that's where she liked to pray. And just sit like those teens in silence and wait on the Lord. I miss my mom. I want to see her again, bad. Probably want to see your loved ones too. That's part of the grief and bereavement. Here's the beauty of Mass. When we gather at this altar and Christ makes Himself present here, heaven and earth come together. You can't see it, teens, nor can the adults, but every time we gather on this altar, the angels and saints are present here, because this altar here is connected to the altar in heaven, the wedding feast. And our loved ones who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, who are now with God or on their way there, are still participating in this Mass. So when we participate in this Mass, we are in communion with the communion of saints too, which is awesome. So those saints that you're picking for your confirmation, saint, whenever you gather here around this altar, they are with you in a real way as Christ makes Himself present in the Eucharist. And so it could be the fact that when you're a teen, you're like, you know, sometimes I come to Mass, it's kind of boring, I don't get it. I'm telling you, if you take the time to enter in, like I said earlier, you give the Lord just a little bit of your heart, just a little bit, He'll make His way in there, and He'll start doing tremendous things with you. When I was your age, I had no idea I would be a priest. I didn't know what was going on. But I gave the Lord a little bit. And then over time, it just kept growing and growing. So that's what I ask of you. And look, you got a whole bunch of parishioners here who will promise to pray for you. And you might not even know their names. And they'll lift you up in prayer. Because the Lord wants to make saints out of you too. And the Lord wants to heal hearts that have been broken and hearts that are longing and aching, especially around the holidays. And let us know, have not abandoned you. I'm here every time we gather at Mass. The Lord makes Himself present again. And not only does He make Himself present here, but He says, I want to enter into your lives. So He gives us Himself in the Eucharist so that He can live in us and dwell in us. And then at the end of Mass, as we said, this is a big thing for confirmation. It's not just about you. It's about you taking His love to the world, which is why at the end of Mass, I'll say, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your lives. Because He's counting on you. And this church is counting on you to receive the faith that has been given and then to carry it out and make it present in the world. So we have great reason to rejoice today with Our Lady to say, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Let us rejoice.